Andy Holding's Racing Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Irish Racing Preview. We're going to look ahead to today's action in Tramore. We're back over jumps in Ireland. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me on the line to look into the action is William Hill Radio's Irish Racing expert, Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
Very well, Mark.
Good man. What do you make of the card in Tramore today?
Dominated by William Mullins, by the looks of it. That's pretty much how it is at the moment. He's got the first two favourites, which should win. Mm-hmm. One or two tricky handicaps, and beginner's chase, where I do think the betting's a little bit to skew with, so I'm going to recommend something at a wild price in that 235.
Right, okay. Because the front two in the betting there, they've got a few question marks on there. So.
Definitely, yeah. They have.
We'll move on to that one later on. We're starting the 12:35, and we start with a mare's maiden hurdle over 2 miles. And Supreme Ballerina is the 8-13 favourite. Won her first two bumpers. Disappointing one favourite enlisted company at the Open meeting, but clearly well fancied, and she goes over hurdles today for the first time. She holds Sunday Serenade on that form as well, so it, definitely the one to beat. Andy, do you think she will win?
I do, yeah. I think she's a good thing here. She can jump clear round. You say disappointing. She probably was. The fact that she was favourite and didn't win, of course, yeah, it's always disappointing, but if you actually look at the nuts and bolts of that race and what she achieved, I actually think it was probably a career high. Her two victories prior to that, we didn't really know how good she was. But what we have to suggest is that race at Cheltenham was a very high-class race of its kind. It was a listed race, of course, but you look at the form, it's worked out incredibly well. I mean, Legacy Gold, who was third from the Pipe Stable, that bolted up at Utoxa the other day, winning that very easily. Mayfair Music, who was fifth, the Henderson Beast, went on to win next time out down in Wincanton. Bull and Bush only just got touched off next time out by My Miss Lucy. That was at Fontwell. And then, you know, you go down to the likes of Fairy Tale Theatre, who has been an absolute mile, was also behind that Mayfair Music at Wincanton. So the ones that have run out of that race so far have suggested it was an above-average event. And so pretty Ballerina, even though it was sixth, you know, she did only get beat 10 lengths, and that clearly holds the best form in this race. Sunday Serenade was well behind in ninth. No real reason why Peter Fahey's charge should turn the form around with Supreme Ballerina. Obviously, jumping's going to dictate which one comes out on top, but the form is there for all to see. So you've got an obvious choice. You either go with the favourite, Supreme Ballerina, or you back Sunday Serenade each way and put that in some each way doubles and trebles. I think it's between the two, barring accidents.
Okay, yeah, I may have been a bit harsh saying disappointing.
You're a harsh man.
Yes, I'm in a harsh mood this morning. On to the second race then, the 105. This is a maiden hurdle over 2 miles and 5 furlongs, and another Willie Mullins favourite, Wicklow Gold. This one has been disappointing, though. I think I can say that about Wicklow Gold, but this is such a weak race, and you could give it one more chance, maybe.
I'm definitely going to give it one more chance. This is my nap of the day. I'll be absolutely devastated if this doesn't win. I think 10 to 11 actually is a fantastic price offered up here by William Hill this morning, if you can get that. This horse, actually, for once, you don't normally get this with William Mullins, but I thought this was a bit of a non-jiggity the other day. It was ridden by Ruby Walsh. It went off 16-1, and to be honest, having watched Ruby Walsh's body language to that race, I don't really think that they were absolutely at full capacity within that day. And he still ran a really eye-catching race. He ran on through beaten horses to finish fourth in a contest which is working out incredibly well. It was won by Michael Horrigan's The Job Is Right, who floored the a couple of short price horses next time out at Fairy House. And the horse that finished third as well, Gordon Koenig, that was the beneficiary of Turn and Go falling at the second last when he returned to Clonmel next time out. He might have actually still won the race, who knows? He was actually upside, and the favourite was actually being niggled along to get the better of Gordon the Conic. So, like I say, I'm not necessarily sure he would have won. He might have won anyway. So, The form is there for all to see. Wicklow Gold wasn't knocked about in fourth. Certainly gave the impression he's capable of much better. This is a weak race. And again, another one that I think will go to Willie Mullins. I think 10 to 11 is a really good price.
Okay. Did you say that was your nap of the day?
That's the nap of the day, yeah.
Okay. Wicklow Gold then, Andy's nap of the day in the 105. On to the 135 next race, 3 on the card. And this is a novice handicap hurdle over 2 miles and 5 furlongs. And the betting suggests it should be between Indian Outlook and Gold Patrol. They're 2-1 and 9-4 respectively this morning. It's then 13-2 for Fairy Court and then 7-1 barring those. So do you see it between the front two in the betting, Andy?
I could make a case out for Fairy Court here. I certainly think each way, Fairy Court will give you a huge run for your money. The thing about Fairy Court is that he does love it here at Tramore. He's run here 3 times. His only career victory came here at this track, and he's run quite well in subsequent races, which have contained some decent animals. That race down in Clonmel was won by Silver Tassie. Top Cat Henry was second. That was a good race. And he was in quite deep next time out in that very competitive handicap at Limerick, which went the way of the inform questions answered. But likes of Tobachukt and Courage, who have been knocking at the door recently, were also involved in that race. So I think if you're looking for the obvious each way, Fairy Court looks the part there. Other than that, Gold Patrol probably is a worthy favourite on balance. He won at Thurles 2 starts ago, before probably being out of his depth the other day behind Fine, the Ruby Walsh, Willie Mullins trained individual. But you know, that was a race, that was a decent race. Empire of Dirt and the Winkler were also in that, and they'd gone into that good race in with good form attached to them. So this is probably more in keeping with what he's capable of. Obviously, Indian Outlook is the main danger. He won over fences last time out in Sligo, beating Back Off Mate, who's won subsequently. He was run-up behind Paddy the Celeb the time before over Hurdle, so he's got plenty of hurdling form as well. He's a nice horse, actually, Indian Outlook. A real good looker, trained by Adrian Maguire. So, yeah, an interesting little matchup between the three. I think Gold Patrol would probably gain my vote out of the front two in the market, but the bet is going to be Fairy Court each way. I think he's sure to be there or thereabouts.
Okay, Fairy Court each way then in that one. On to the 205, race 4 on the card. This is a 2 mile handicap hurdle, and Tidy Zag heads the betting this morning at 2-1. Was fairly unremarkable over hurdles until last time when winning by 10 lengths at Cork. That was on Sunday. He's up. He's got the penalty for that success, and the trainer says that he's not easy to keep right, Andy. So, given that he struggles to win until last time, would 2-1 be short enough on Tidy Zag?
It probably would be. Yeah, they're always difficult, these horses, to assess on. And the ones that win by wide margins from totally left field, when they had the headgear on for the first time out, obviously he got the hood on, which we've seen that work in a million times in recent seasons with horses who seem to be dipping in form. It just seems to have that brilliant pacifying effect and a calming effect on these horses that have previously shown a tendency to be a little bit wayward. So you'd have to give the horse a maximum respect if he was to replicate that victory on Sunday. It wasn't a particularly strong race. It wasn't a fast time either. So that's the slight negative. He's racing on ground. This is going to be slightly quicker, well, much quicker than it was the other day. His last two runs have been his last two victories have been on a really heavy surface. So good ground as well is also a major concern. So on balance at 2-1, I think I tend to agree with you. He's probably a little bit too short for my liking. We can certainly give chances out to the next three in the betting. Get out with you can. Ran quite well down in Fairy House last time out behind Not For Changing. We got to Island Villa, who was third behind Balworth Hope at Gowran. And Nobacall ran probably his best race when he was settled off the pace. They'd ridden him from the front in his last two starts. And his trainer, Johnny Levins, is having a good run of things of late with a horse called Miller Beach on the All Weather. So he's got prospects. Away from that, I think Sweet Sylvia could go well here. She hasn't yet won a race, but all the best form comes here at Tramore. And I'm going to stick her up each way here in the belief that I think she represents a bit of each way value. Ran about 10 or 12 to 1 this morning. As I said, 4 times she's run well around this track, been placed. And that was the position she filled last time out when she finished third behind two horses that handle this track really well. Billy Buster, who's been on a bit of a roll, and Famous Ballerina, who subsequently went on to win next time out down in Clonmel. So I think that form's okay, you know, and the fact that she's been given a little bit of a break and look for another race round here at Tramore suggests to me that Connections have done the right thing and give it a little bit of a break and allowed her to run at her favourite track. So Sweet Sylvia each way is the vote in that 205.
Okay, on to the 2:35 next race, 5 on the card. And this one is a beginner's chase. It's over 2 miles and 5 furlongs. And as we discussed at the top of the piece, maybe a few question marks regarding the joint favourites here. Lockrow Lady and Sugar Bullet, 9-4 joint favourites this morning. Between them, they haven't won for a long time. And on the recent Wexford outing, Lockrow Lady would have the slight advantage, but you say you're going to try and find one at a bigger price near, Andy, so talk through your thoughts in this one.
Yeah, I think the front two in the market have got some reasonable levels of form next to their name. I thought that run from Sugar Bullet the other day was a good one in that very competitive mare's handicap at Fairy House. It was won by She's Got Grit. Lockrow Lady, again, not a bad effort last time out behind Speckled Wood, who subsequently got beat by a nice horse of Willie Mullins's next time out called Smashing. So I do respect the both of them. I don't think they're as dodgy as it we're making out, but at the same time that they are chalked up accordingly. I do think there's a couple in this race that are worth a second look, and both of them ran in a decent handicap hurdle down in Cork a couple of starts ago, and it comes out really well on the figures. It was won by a horse called Slain Chief, who absolutely bolted up the other day at Fairy House under a penalty. He literally sauntered through that race again to suggest that speed figure and the form is definitely worth following. And Pal's Leg, who finished second in that race, has gone on subsequently to run really well back at Fairy House over 3 miles. Now, he makes his chasing debut here today, but I notice he's got plenty of point-to-point form attached to him several seasons back, so he's probably just been marking time, really, waiting until he goes over the large obstacles again. So I do think Pal's Leg is worth a second look. And the other one, also ran in that race, it was very unlucky in that race, horse that was it's trained by Shark Hanlon called Abolutionist. Now, I actually backed Abolutionist that day in that Selene Chief race, and it doesn't say in the form comments, but there was a horse that fell right down the back straight. I think it was 5 from home, and he almost got brought down. I don't think the guy who did the analysis actually caught it that day, but I did, and he had to swerve to avoid it, and he lost valuable lengths. He made up the ground, but his winning chance had gone, but to finish fourth was quite a commendable effort. Now, he was in really deep first time up over fences. They took him down to Fairy House of the day, but that was probably the best novice chase so far running Ireland away from the obvious graded races. It contained a whole host of decent, you know, in-form hurdlers that were going to make a career over fences. Fox Rocker, Do Things, a horse going places. I think he'll be a national horse 1 year. But Abolutionist didn't get actually knocked about too severely in that race, and I noticed that he finished his race off quite well. It was very much a case of perseverance and self-preservation on his first outing, just to get him home, just to give him a nice, easy introduction. I think he's going to step up the plate here today. I don't think he's by any manner out of this. And he's 16-1 with William Hill this morning. I do think this is probably the best value bet on the card today, Abolutionist. We already know he can jump now. He's certainly got the form in the book over hurdles to go close. And I do think he's going to outrun those odds.
Okay, good stuff. On to the penultimate race next, and the 3:05. This is a handicap chase over 2 miles and 5 furlongs, and Dog Barrel Hill heads the betting. Came out of the doldrums of late with two runner-up efforts, the latest of which was at Wexford, where he finished 5 lengths in front of Miss Palm on that occasion. Those two are the front two in the betting. Dog Barrel Hill 3-1, Miss Palm 7-2. It's in 7-1 for That's the Dream, 15-2 for Wild Salmon, and 8-1 barring those. Do you think that line of form's key here, Andy?
Yeah, I do quite like Dog Barrow Hill. I'd only really want to be interested in from an each-way perspective, though, because he has a habit of not going through with his effort totally. I thought he should have won 2 starts ago at Fairy House, and Flying Wonder out battled him. And the same comments applied last time out when Foritza did exactly the same thing down in Wexford. Back in third was Miss Palmer, who I think has got a good chance of turning the form around here, by the way. But yeah, Dog Barrow Hill, he's only 3-1, as I said. He's a horse at a short price I'd probably want to avoid. I do think Miss Palmer go well here. She came from a long way back that day when it paid to be at the front end, and I do think this 9-year-old grey will certainly be competitive here. Bit of money this morning as well for Lady Olwyn, and I certainly wouldn't put you off her, because she's got some good form here at this track, and she was in really deep last time out on only a second start over fences behind the likes of Defy Logic, Golden Brook and Marley Shaw. I mean, she had absolutely no chance whatsoever of keeping up that day against those real speedsters. And she actually comes out quite well on my figures, even though she got beat, upwards of 50 lengths. So at the prices, I'd suggest that Lady Onwind's definitely a shade too big. And also do keep an eye, just for, the radio show purposes, for Richard Pugh's horse. Richard Pugh, of course, has done a few stints for us at William Hill Radio as a commentator. And he's a very good judge, Richard. And obviously chains of 1 or 2 pointer-pointers, so his Schindler's Rock is definitely worth a second look as well, if there's a bit of money for it. But I do think Lady Olwyn, as I said before, should outrun her odds.
Okay, Lady Olwyn then to outrun odds in the 3:05, and the final race this afternoon is the 3:35. We finish with a ladies bumper over 2 miles, and Flaming Dawn is the favourite this morning with Jane Mangan in the saddle, a couple of seconds to Flaming Dawn's name of late. That's the 13-8 favourite. Back Before Dawn is 9-4 with the services of Nina Carberry in the saddle. It's then 8-1 for Googler's Garden. Indian Fairies 10s, Manila Tweet and Oscar Vespasian are both 12s, so is Dreambeat, and then it's 14-1 or bigger prices the rest. So the market in the closing bumper, Andy, speaking in favour of Flaming Dawn and Back Before Dawn.
Yeah, out of the two, I'd probably go with Flaming Dawn out of the two Dawns. I tipped this horse last time out on the podcast and I'm a bit disappointed it didn't manage to win, but there was reasons why he didn't manage to accomplish that feat. The fact that he was so keen in the early stages in the hands of Danny Mullins was the reason why he didn't quite finish off his race as powerfully as I would have anticipated. But prior to that, he'd gone really well behind a horse called Neck or Nothing, who subsequently changed stables. That Neck or Nothing actually ran really well in a good bumper at Cheltenham, and unfortunately he fell foul of jumping that path, which got in the way of 1 or 2 horses at the Paddy Power 3-day meeting, and it probably knocked him back a little bit. He probably would have gone a lot closer, that Neck or Nothing. So I think that's the key form line, that run behind that horse, the X-Nile Mead horse, is certainly worth keeping on the right side of. And it's just whether a question of whether Jane Mangan can settle this horse in the early stages. If she does, you could manage to drop him in. I just think he got him a bit too prominent last time out. He was tracking the pace instead of just tucking him in and getting him a bit of cover. But hopefully lessons would have been learned from the O'Grady camp, and Jane Mangan will have the instructions just to drop this horse in, get it to settle. And if he does, hopefully he'll be a bit more stronger in the finish than he was last time.
Okay. As always then, Andy, let's just have a little bit of a summary before you go, if you wouldn't mind spinning us through your selections one more time.
Yeah, not great fare today at Tramore. Very much bargain basement stuff. But Willie Mullins should get off with a flyer in the first two races with the Supreme Ballerina and my nap of the day, Wicklow Gold, in the 1:05. I think that looks a really good thing there. 1:35. Front two in the market look fairly solid, but also like the claims from Fairy Court has been the only course and distance winner in the race. And each way, Thomas Cummins is... 7-year-old makes most appeal there. Tidy Zag is the one to beat in the 2:05 if the hood, of course, works for the second time. But if it doesn't, maybe Sweet Sylvia could poke a pretty little head into the frame yet again here around her favourite track. In the 2:35, I'd probably go 2 against the field there. Powell's Leg and Abolitionist, who come out of that Sulane Chief hurdle race. If either one of those two can put a good round of jumping in, they've certainly got the form to be dangerous in that beginner's chase. I'll go with the top one each way in the 3:05, Lady Olwyn, who got outpaced by the likes of Defy Logic last time out. Certainly nothing of that calibre in this race today. And in the final race, Flaming Dawn is certainly the form horse. Just hopefully he settles in the early stages. And that's down to Jane Mangan.
OK, good stuff. Good work, Andy. Thank you very much. And enjoy the action at Tramore this afternoon.
Will do. Cheers, Mark.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.